All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sam's DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, April 19th of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a 10-game MLB main slate today, as well as a 2-game NBA playoff slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, going to get the SaberSim app pulled up here, and we're going to jump right in. We had a big update go live earlier today. If you guys missed it, you can catch that in the announcements channel in our Discord server. Team is working hard on new things every day, with the big update being the notification center. One, you'll get notifications in this bar about players being out across all slates that you're in. And then we even have it set up now where you can get notifications to your phone when a player is ruled out. So we released a tutorial showing you guys how to do that. I'll actually show it here just to give you guys a idea, but I think the mobile tutorials is the mobile notifications are super cool. And let me find that link for you guys. So we have a support video showing you guys how to do that. So you can find it here, how to set up mobile SaberSim notifications. And basically this is what it will look like. I'll show you guys right here. So, you know, imagine it's Friday night, you're out having dinner, you don't have time to check, you know, your lineups all the time, and then boom, you get such and such player has been marked out and you need to replace that player in your lineup. So, you know, this is like a really cool thing because it's only going to tell you when players that are in your entries file are marked out. It's not like setting up, you know, underdog notifications and like, oh, such and such player was rolled out. Well, hey, do I even have that player in my lineup? And then you have to go check. So this will tell you, you know, hey, player is in your CSV and player has been marked out, and let you know that you need to tutorial here showing you how to do it, and I would just follow the steps and you should be all good. But with that said, going to get SaberSim pulled back up, and we will jump into our regularly scheduled office hours here. So first question came in from David. All right. And let's get David's question in the chat. Ooh, I should drop this link to the mobile notification in the chat as well. So dropping that in the YouTube chat, how to set up mobile notifications. All right, question from David. Is there any way to simulate more than one of my lineups against the field at the same time? I want to know if my lineups are stealing ROI from each other. So if I'm playing in a 20 max contest, and I want to see how my 20 lineups work together against the field. Okay, so good question. So the answer is no, not in the pre-contest sim. So basically what he's asking is like, hey, you know, can I simulate 20 of my lineups in the contest sim at the same time to see how they do when they battle even against each other for equity? So the answer is no. And the reason for that, well, let's talk about, you know, pre-contest sim versus post-contest sim. So the post-contest sim does work like this. It looks at you on a user level. It looks at all the lineups that you entered, and then it returns a sim ROI for your entire portfolio of lineups. So it's understanding even if your lineups are battling against each other. So like one thing that can happen sometimes is people will ask, hey, you know, how come my 99th percentile sim ROI was higher than first place? It's like, because there are some sims where you might take like first, second, and third, and you end up assuming all of that, all of those winnings in some of the sims. Now, those lineups have to be highly correlated to do that, but that can happen, right? So like, that would show you that, hey, these lineups are like very, very correlated. Now, what happens in the pre-contest sim is, because we have a pool of lineups, you know, we want to give you a sim ROI for all of the lineups in your pool. Well, we can't put 5,000 of your lineups into the pool with the field lineup. So what we have to do is we have to do them one at a time. We have to take one lineup, put it with the field lineups, simulate that out. Because the problem is, if we have a pool of 5,000, well, how do we group the 20 and how do we know which 20 to group? Like, if we only took the 20 in the top, like the top 20 from SaberScore, and then we run the sim ROI, well, then now we wouldn't have any sim ROIs for all the other lineups in the pool. So it just gets really weird. It's something that I don't know how you would actually do it, because you have to get a sim ROI for every single lineup in order to grade them from highest sim ROI to lowest. So that's why you can't do like groups of lineups in the pre-contest sim. It's only on a lineup by lineup basis. And then in the post-contest sim, you can go back after the fact and see how your lineups did all together. So, you know, there's definitely a little bit of a like tandem approach, like using information from the pre-contest sim, analyzing that information in the post-contest sim after the slate locks, and then making adjustments to how you are setting up your lineups pre-contest the next go around, right? Like that's kind of what you should be trying to do. You should be building your lineups, you should be getting them dialed in, and then after the slate, you should be analyzing them, seeing how they graded out, making adjustments for the next time, and then the next time, and then the next time, and hopefully slowly over time, your sim ROI creeps up, and then you can start realizing that equity in the contest that you're playing. So those are my thoughts there, but that is why you can't exactly do what you're suggesting. All right. Good question there. Looks like that was our last question at the moment. I was kind of in the mood to build some NBA lineups with you guys tonight. You know, we got another two-game slate here and should be an interesting one, right? These are the last games of the play-in tournament. And I think some of these like contextual things are like pretty interesting here. So happy to talk about some NBA stuff right now. Quick question from Quick Shake. Greatly appreciate you taking the time to educate us each day. Quick question. How far back can you go on flashback? I tried to run a flashback for the April NASCAR race last year, but it didn't work. We released contest flashback, I believe, in September of 2023. So that is as far back as the information goes. So I'm almost positive we released it like right at the beginning of NFL season. So anything prior to September 2023, you will not be able to use flashback for. We just didn't have the data at the time. But all right, jumping back to this NBA build. So if you guys aren't aware, so the first game of the play-in tournament, you know, seeds 7 and 8 play for the 7 spot. And then if whoever loses gets like a second chance, and then 9 and 10 play. And then whoever wins from 9 and 10, the winner goes on to play the loser from the 7 and 8 for the 8 spot, right? So this is it. This is basically, you win, you're in, you lose, you're out. So one thing that's like on my mind is like concentrated minutes for players, right? So, you know, we have like Sabonis at like 39, we have Fox at 42, we have Bam at like 37. You know what, one thing that like I'm probably gonna do is like take some time and like look at how the minutes played out for the last play-in games, and then kind of like probably use that as like a floor, maybe even of just like, hey, I think these guys are going to play at a minimum these many minutes. Something interesting, right, that happened is Miami is going to be without Jimmy Butler. So like, that's a pretty big like postseason change here, is like, hey, you know, what happens when Miami doesn't have Jimmy Butler in this game? You know, how do they play? So probably spend like a little bit of extra time looking at Miami, but should be a fun slate overall tonight. Question in the YouTube chat, what is the auto apply exposure for in the app? Good question here. So let's just like run some lineups real quick. And I'll just run 500 lineups for the sake of the example. So if you go to the top right corner drop-down menu, there is an auto apply exposures button. Basically, what happens here is the way SaberSim used to work is you used to make an adjustment to say min or max exposures, and then it used to calculate it on the spot. Well, sometimes what can happen is the more and more you set, the more time it can take for the builder to make that adjustment, because it's like solving for however many exposures you want or percentage or whatever it's looking for. So right now you can see that I have it turned off here. And if I set a min exposure to Sabonis for like 50%, well, it doesn't actually calculate right away. Instead, this green apply button pops up. So what we recommend here for like time saving is set all of the min and max exposures you want, and then you hit apply, and then it solves for all of them one time. So then I'll hit apply, and then the lineups will change. Well, if I turn on auto apply and then I put in that 50 here, it's going to solve for it automatically. So it just depends how many you're setting here. I would say it's fine to leave it on unless you start to get bogged down if you're setting a lot of minimax exposures and things like that. Or you could just leave it off and then hit the apply button when you're ready, and then it'll take care of all of the adjustments at once here. So that's the difference. And then we even have auto update sources here. So what this does is like when ownership gets run, it pushes ownership to the app without having to refresh. We're working on ways to push projections to the app without having to click the refresh projections icon. That's still in the works here. But that's what some of these tools up here in the top right corner do. Even OpenDFS site on download, you know, DraftKings makes it like a little funky about where to upload your lineups. Like, are you uploading lineups? Are you uploading entries, right? And if you upload lineups, the lineups aren't going to go into your contest. You have to upload entries. So it can be a little confusing about where to upload those. So if you're unsure of where to go on DraftKings to do that, turn on this OpenDFS site on download. We will take you to the correct page on DraftKings as long as you're logged in on the mobile browser that you're using, and then we'll open up the right page for you to upload your entries. Now, small caveat there. I would leave the OpenDFS site on download turned off because it can interfere with the downloading of your lineup CSV. So on desktop, totally fine to have it on. On a mobile, I would leave it turned off and then just manually switch tabs. That is covered in our mobile tutorial in our support docs. But all right. Looks like we're all caught up with questions here in the YouTube chat and the Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.